A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts. KSL
at Night. Welcome back to KSL at Night. You are with Taylor Morgan and Mara Carabello. Mara, let's continue the conversation about flooding. Today, we saw a lot of flooding, specifically Davis County, Kaysville. An entire street disappeared, I think.
That was amazing. If you have not seen those sinkhole pictures, whew, yeah. They are incredible.
Stay safe, everyone. Do not attempt to drive through floodwaters.
Yes. Stay away right now from fast running.
It's encouraging to see videos and photos of folks coming together, helping each other out. It's going to be a long, wet spring, and this is only the very beginning of it. So let's talk about what we need to watch out for, Mara, and some maybe tips and tricks that we should have in our toolbox to protect our homes from flooding. The first of those is check your home insurance policy. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have external exterior flood insurance, which most policies don't have, get it now because you have to wait 30 days before it's in effect. I purchased flood insurance, and I have to wait till April 20th. Fingers are crossed.
Ooh, April 20th is your day.
That's my day. So check your policy out and know what you're dealing with there. But we want to bring on with us now an expert to talk about flooding and some things we should watch out for and some tips as homeowners and renters. Kathy Riggs is with the Utah State University Extension, a professor there. Kathy, welcome to KSL at Night.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. How do we keep our home safe?
Boy, that's a loaded question, isn't it?
That's right.
Up until about a week ago, we were concerned with snow dikes being butt up against the homes and heavy loads of snow on rooftops. And things have changed a bit since we've been warming up. And so, like you mentioned, part of the worry and concern we have is with those floodwaters that might be coming over the riverbanks or down from higher ground if you're up close to a mountain range. So there are some simple things you can do as you just walk around your yard, or if you're on a main level of an apartment building, some things that you can do to help prepare for the possibility of flooding coming down your way. One of the things that I would like to just bring to people's attention is that if you have window wells, water loves to go down window wells, and it's very important that you build some type of a dam around those window wells, whether that's with sandbags or if you have areas where you're still landscaping and you have extra sod or different things that you can stack up there, even bricks, anything with a tarp over it can be considered a dike and will cover up those window wells. Something else that you want to make sure is that your downspouts are turned in the direction where they won't head toward the window well or toward the foundation of the home. A lot of times we forget that even as the water comes down those spouts, we forget where it goes from there. And if it's going to go right down the side of the house, it's going to seep in and go right down that foundation and soak the foundation. So you want to build up either with gravel, soil, sod, anything that you have that can build up the area right next to your home out about a foot or more, where you can encourage the water to go away from the house and down to somebody else's drainage area where they're set up to have the water go. Or if you have curb and gutter, just send it down the gutter if you can.
So one of the questions, and this may prompt a couple more, but what are some common mistakes? I'll tell you something I should have thought. I'm going to out myself, Taylor.
Uh-oh, like, here we go.
I should have thought about it. So you said something smart, you know, about the window wells, and that was a good dial-in for me because I'm thinking you don't necessarily need to build a large wall around your entire property. It's not that. It's about being smarter about where the water may flow into your house, right? It's not an entire a property circumference, but maybe looking at window wells. What are some other common assumptions we make that might not be right?
One thing we assume is if we're landscaped, that everything's going to be just fine, and everything will just soak in. Well, we all know that this year, with all the snow that we've received, our ground is saturated, and so there's not the dry ground anymore for soaking up the water that is probably going to come fast down either down the street or through another neighbor's yard. And so just walking around the home and being able to say, oh, here's a low spot. If water comes in from this direction, this might be where it will go.
Yeah.
Just being smart about it and being cautious. What can I do to build this area up, whether it's with sandbags, like I say, or just diverting the water somewhere else so it won't do any damage?
Yeah, thank you. Kathy, where can our listeners potentially go to get some of this information, perhaps find out where they can pick up sandbags? Where would you direct them to go?
Most of the sandbagging that's going on is through the municipalities. So if you're just call your city offices and ask when and where they can either bag their own sand or when they're going to have an event to bag sand for people to come and pick up. I've heard of a couple of places, businesses that are selling the tubes of sand. If you feel like that's the easiest option for you, that you can't handle those heavier sandbags, there's these that are about 20 pounds of sand that you can use, and they're only maybe 4 inches high, but those are doable. They would work as long as they stay in place. And if you want more information on where to find other guidelines about flooding, you can at least check out our Utah State University Extension website. And under our programs, we have things for emergency preparedness and ways to help you prevent damage. It's so expensive if you have to clean up after a flood. You just want to really be aware and prevent when you can.
And Kathy, what do you expect our season to be? So we know April and part of May, certainly. It is usually normal for the flooding season to end in May, or does it sometimes trickle into June? Who knows?
You know, that's when the spring flooding possibilities would probably start lessening. But where I live, I'm in Cedar City, and out where I live in Enoch, a couple of years ago in August was a huge flood in our area. And there were homes that became condemned just because the infrastructure wasn't there to receive so much rain so quickly.
Wow. This has been some terrific information. Kathy Riggs from Utah State University Extension, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
So, Taylor, you just hooked yourself up with some insurance. Are you worried? Do you think you're going to get some flooding?
No, not particularly, but I live on a hill in Draper, and in years past, some of my neighbors have experienced flooding due to like sprinkler systems breaking
A
water line with the city, something like that. So with the water table being so high and then living at the base of South Mountain that has had more snow on it than ever before, Mara, I skied down South Mountain a few times this year.
Huh?
So look, I'm concerned, and I've never worried about it before. So better safe than sorry.
Yeah, good information. She gave some great advice. And if you go to county websites as well as most city websites, I mean, we're listing. We have 20 in front of us. Cache, Cottonwood Heights, Draper, Harrisville, Kaysville, Davis County. So go look now, safe than sorry being the motto. There's lots of resources out there. So next on KSL at night, there's some interesting developments from the federal government regarding the distribution of water for the Colorado River. We'll talk about that after the break with KSL at night.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.